Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. It's Thursday, July 12th, and welcome to Garage Talk Live's newest show in the family, Girls Getting the Facts.
Well, hello, Tammy. How are you today?
Good. And yourself?
I'm good. I'm good. We got an exciting show for our first one coming up.
Yes, we do.
I'm proud to say that we have Tommy Tomcat Flowers will be calling in shortly. He is a four-time gold medalist, two times bronze, and three times silver X Games champion. We're excited to have him come on and talk about what he's been doing, how he got his start, and where he plans on going.
Oh, I can't wait for that. That's going to be an awesome interview.
That it will. That it will. Now, but before we get tonight's show started, I want to do a special shout-out to the San Diego 12-year-old boys all-star team, Emerald Pony. They're competing in regionals this week, and they're being coached by Patrick Bodine of Apex Contracting and Restoration. He happens to be the associate sponsor of Make Motorsports and TJ Bell's number 50 Chevrolet in the NASCAR Nationwide Series. So we just want to say good luck to you boys, and go beat Ramona on Saturday. We'll be rooting for you.
Definitely. Good luck to them out there. Can't wait to hear how they did.
I'll keep you posted, that's for sure. Well, while we're waiting for Tommy, you want to go over some news that, you know, some of the facts that we have found out over the week?
Sure. What's going on right now?
Well, let's talk about the suspensions in the Sprint Cup teams and the Nationwide teams. As most of you already know, the number 14 NASCAR Sprint Cup Series team was penalized. NASCAR found the violations in Section 12-1, which is actions detrimental to stock car racing, 12-4J, any detrimation by NASCAR officials that the race equipment used in the event does not conform to NASCAR rules detailed in Section 20 of the NASCAR rulebook, and 20-2-1J, unapproved open vent hose inside the car. The violations occurred during post-qualifying inspection on July 6th. Now, you know, everyone thinks, okay, well, what's going to happen? Well, according to NASCAR, Steve Addington has been fined $25,000 and placed on NASCAR probation until August 22nd. The car chief, Jeff Mindring, has been placed on probation also until the 22nd. Tony Stewart and Margaret Haas has been penalized with the loss of six championship driver and six championship owner points. Now, on to the Nationwide team. Austin Dillon on RCR was found in violation of Section 12-1, 12-4J, and 20A-2-1J, which happens to be an unapproved open vent hose inside of the car. And this also occurred during the post-qualifying inspection. They were fined, the crew chief, $10,000 and has been suspended from NASCAR until July 25th, which is just right around the corner, so that's not so bad. The car chief, Robert, I can't even pronounce his name, Stamiska, also has been suspended from NASCAR until the 25th. And their suspensions were due to previous probation. They were on probation previously, and they have violated it. They were both on probation until December 31st for violations that was committed in Richmond. Austin Dillon and Morgan Shepherd have been penalized with the loss of six championship driver and six championship owner points. Ready for more?
I'm ready for more. What else you got?
Well, we're also going to talk about the 18 car in the Nationwide Series. Was also in violation of the same sections, but also 20A-12.81B, where the car failed to meet the minimum front car height. This was also found during the post-race inspection. The crew chief, Adam Stevens, has been fined $10,000 and was placed on probation until August 22nd. The car chief, Christopher Landis, has been placed on NASCAR probation until August 22nd also. Joe Gibbs was penalized with the loss of six championship owner points. Now, so a lot of penalties went out this weekend.
In like that, in the comparison, how much of an effect does it have on these teams?
I don't really think with the teams that was mentioned, I don't really think it affects them much at all. I mean, $10,000 is a set of tires for a nationwide team. Come on, you know. I mean, that's nothing. I think if they're going to make these type of violations, and clearly they were violations that aren't odd. These are violations that they know about. So, you know, if it's a blatant violation, I think that they should really be penalized. You know, what's probation until August 22nd? Until a month and a few days from now?
Right. It kind of seems like with some of the ways that they do the penalizing and everything like that, maybe setting them down for a week. I mean, that's what we do at the local tracks. You're in violation. Yeah, you'll probably lose all your points money for the night, and you'll lose your points, and you'll probably be sitting out either 1 to 2 weeks, if not more, depending on what the violation is. I wonder why they do it in the NASCAR Weekly Series, but they don't do it in the upper level.
You know, I really don't know. Now, with Danny Stockman and poor Robert, I'm sorry that I cannot pronounce your name. You know, they were suspended, which is understandable. But, again, they've been suspended for 2 races. That's it. They were already on probation until December 31st for something that happened in Richmond, which was how many weeks ago? So, therefore, their violations in Richmond had to be pretty substantial to be put on probation until December 31st. We're out of the season at that time. And then only to be suspended for 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Because
just like
makes
when
no sense.
An employer had his issue a couple years ago right before the chase, you know, and he was found in violation of everything, but yet he still made the chase. It's like, well, if you're in violation and you're found in violation the week before the chase and that's how you got into the chase, should he have really kept his spot?
I agree. Yeah, I mean, I don't have a whole lot to say on that. It's just, it's kind of odd. But then again, we're not there, and you know, NASCAR has a lot of rules that we don't know. You know, I mean, it's hard to get that NASCAR rule book. It would be nice just to get it in our hands, but it doesn't happen.
Yeah, it is
at all.
One of those things. Like I have the rule books for the local divisions and things like that, but.
Mm-hmm.
To get some of the higher level ones. I mean, you can do a Google search and you can find outdated ones and everything, but unless you're a team, you're not getting your hands on that new one.
Exactly. Right. I mean, and, you know, I mean, we could probably get our hands on it. But again, I would be violating the rules of the contract that I have with the team that I'm working for.
Right. I think maybe we can look into getting one of the officials from NASCAR, maybe we get them to come on and give us some insights and information. I know a couple people that handle all that. Maybe we can get them on and kind of give us a look into their world and what they go through having to enforce the rules and what they're actually looking for.
Exactly. Yeah, well, you know, it's something that we could look into since we are the ones getting the facts.
That's right. I mean, it's kind of interesting, just like how, like, if we go back and look at Daytona, how do you determine that Jimmy Johnson's car wasn't right if you just looked at it? And it wasn't obvious, they said, by looking at it that it was wrong. So how did you know it was wrong by looking at it and never using a template? And it wasn't an obvious difference. There wasn't any way that anybody could walk through. That's not proper.
Right. Yeah, I really don't know. You know, and again, it goes back to, you know, the conversation that we had a few weeks ago with Glenn. You know, there's just things about it that we will never get to the bottom of.
Right. You know,
unless somehow we become
official.
Exactly.
No, that's why they hired who they hired, because those guys right now, they're doing tech and enforcing everything. They're there because they found all the gray areas while they were in competition. That's why NASCAR has them where they are now.
Right. Yeah. Well, let's get moving on, because I believe Tommy should be calling in at any minute. Tomcat Clowers. I'm excited about this. Now, we all know that Tony Stewart was nominated for the 2012 ESPY Award. He was nominated for Best Championship Performance, Best Driver. Those that were also nominated in his division was a four-time the Izod IndyCar champion, Dario Franchini, and the Formula One champion, Sebastian, say his name, Vettel, and the NHRA champion, Dale Worsham. Tony did win it, and it was presented by Jimmy Johnson and the lovely Danica Patrick. With,
wow.
With no disdain dripping from my voice on that one.
None at all.
Yeah, so, you know, congratulations to Tony.
Must have been nice for him to have a, you know, one of his drivers present it to him.
Yeah, you know, and I guess that's probably, you know, we can say that's why they did it. Let's just hope. Because, I mean, what if he wouldn't have won? Would it have, would they have put, you know, one of, you know, Dario's people up there?
That's true. That's a good question. You know, with Jimmy and Danica, both NASCAR drivers presenting it to the NASCAR winner.
Yeah. Maybe we already knew who was going to win that one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about NASCAR not revealing the drugs that the drivers have been suspended for. Poor A.J. Allmendinger. I mean, you know, he has gone, when he did his drug test, he let them know what, you know, what medications he has been on. Everything has, you know, been approved, but he's been suspended. And NASCAR is not revealing to the public what he has been suspended for, and they're not going to. It states here, NASCAR does not reveal the drugs that a suspended driver tested positive for due to privacy concerns. Well, didn't the Dinger say, hey, tell us what it is? You know, he's had to take a sample and have it retested at a lab of his choice, and they have 3 days to do that. They have 3 days to request, you know, additional testing.
Right, and, you know, he did say in one of his statements that it was a stimulant. That's the only thing he's even allowed to say. NASCAR won't even let him say what they said the result was. You know, and in a way, if you think about it, there's so many medications nowadays that people take, and a stimulant could be anything, including caffeine. Maybe he did a 5-hour energy shot and just had too much caffeine in his system. You know, that's something right there, too, that, you know, could violate their top policy.
Right. You know, I mean, I don't know. I don't know, you know, what, I mean, if they're going to say, okay, this driver has been suspended for failing a drug test, but we're not telling.
Right. I mean,
what does it mean?
Does it mean it was something extreme, you know, when you're saying it was a stimulant? Was it something extreme in a stimulant version of, you know, illegal drugs, or was it something that any of us could have taken and not know? Type
right.
Of, like drinking
right.
too much caffeine, or maybe an ADHD medication.
Or those red
medication.
Line drinks.
Yeah,
the
red stuff
red
that they drink.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Monster Energy,
you know?
Any of them. You know, if you drink any of them, you need to tell them. If you're going in for a work test or anything like that, you have to tell them. Because it's right on the forms now. Have you had any of these types of energy drinks in the past 24 hours? And if you did, well, it can give you a false negative, too.
Right.
Or
well, let's
positive.
Talk about Monster. Those Monster drinks are readily available.
Yeah.
At the race. You know, in the Nationwide Garage, they are, you know, the Bushes hand them out. Just they hand them out. There is a cooler right in front of the hauler. My daughter comes to me and says, I've had 7 Monster drinks today. I said,
yeah.
Oh, lovely.
The same
and,
with Team
so, you know,
I did it too.
Well, and, you know, I imagine that 5-Hour with Clint Boyer is also doing the same thing.
Yep.
So, you know, maybe these drivers really need to be aware what these energy boosters do.
Exactly. I mean, we have it readily available. I know they even put it in the media center for us.
Right. Well, you know, and another thing is, you know, regarding this this drug test and the suspended driver. The first thing that came to mind when I heard, I'm thinking, first of all, A.J. Allmendinger? No way. But how many of us said that with Jeremy Mayfield? No way. Are you kidding me?
Right.
You know?
We've also seen the fallout of Jeremy Mayfield after that.
Yeah, well, no, we after that. But when it first happened, you have to admit that we were floored.
True.
That we were absolutely floored. So I mean, not that I am saying that A.J. Allmendinger has done this, but NASCAR is also taking the precautions. Even though he says this is what it is, Jeremy Mayfield said the same thing. I'm taking cold medicine. I'm taking a contact. I've taken a Benadryl. You know, he threw all the stuff out there. You know, so, I mean, you know, the dinger could be saying the same thing. We really don't know. So the point of view is NASCAR really should reveal what it is.
Right. And, I mean, I don't think, given his background with being with Petty and all of them, I don't see him being that type of person at all. And, like I said, when you think about a stimulant, let me see what I can find out here. What falls under a stimulant for failing a drug test?
Methamphetamine, basically. You know, probably Mistwood. That I know.
Well, it says here, though, too, people taking medication for, you know, anything that's under a psych medication is a stimulant.
Really?
Yeah. So,
okay, but
it
does
says
NASCAR
also nicotine.
Approve that, though? Does NASCAR approve drivers on psych medication?
That I don't know. Let's see. Any stimulant
that's kind of scary.
Something that helps them with difficulty sleeping, somebody who has tremors, migraines, headaches. Even if you think about, though, it may be scary, but it depends on what type of medication it's for. Maybe it's anti-anxiety. It could be in that category from according to this. It could be something to help them with loss of appetite, that stimulants to get them to eat more. Because, I mean, he is kind of skinny. I mean, this is what they're saying here. When I just a quick search of what stimulant drugs could give you a failing drug test. And in here it says if you're taking things such as heart medication, if you're taking heart medication, you probably don't want to be in the car.
I wouldn't think.
A headache medication. We've all taken headache medications at one time in our life. Problems sleeping. You know, they do travel a lot. Their sleeping patterns do get screwed up. Maybe he was doing something, you know, maybe the doctor put him on something to try and get him back on a normal sleep rhythm. You know, who knows? I mean, it even says in here, caffeine in coffee, tea, and energy drinks can also make you fail a drug test. And nicotine.
So it's kind of scary to think that
maybe it's something that minor, and NASCAR is just going, whoa, because of what happened with Jeremy Mayfield, we got to throw the brakes on you.
Right. And that is probably why they're being so cautious also.
And I think we have a guest here.
Wonderful. You want me to go ahead and get him on?
Welcome to Garage Talk Live.
Am I here?
Yep.
Hey, Tommy.
Hey.
Hey, everybody. This is Tommy, Tomcat Clowers. He is a four-time gold medalist, 2 times bronze, and 3 times silver for the X Games. Am I correct on that, Tommy?
Yes, you are.
Wonderful. Well, how are you doing tonight?
Doing good. Just driving around with the family right now.
Well, that's good. It's always good to be with your family.
Yeah,
it's always good. So, Tommy, are you doing anything right now? I noticed that you did not compete in this year's X Games.
I'm still riding. I wasn't in Step Up, but before that I was in India for 40 days doing shows over there. And then I came home and I got the opportunity. I've got to do a couple commercial stuff. So been kind of getting into that.
Anything that was
been really
nationally?
Cool. The last Super Bowl, I was in a Super Bowl commercial for Time Warner Cable. Ricky Gervais, I think is his name.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was cool. And then this one, I think, is national, but I can't really talk about who it is yet because it hasn't went out.
We understand that. Well, Tommy, let me ask you, the pictures that you have on your Twitter and on your fan page, the elephant, so that would explain India, correct?
Yes. We got to, we rode some elephants, camels, fed monkeys, all kinds of stuff. Cobras out there.
Well, how long were you there for?
40 days.
Wow. Wow. Did you bring your family with you?
No, it was just me and, it was with ASA, so they had vert riders, skateboard riders, BMX guys, and 5 freestyle guys. So it was a good group of guys, and that's what makes a trip like that, you know, fun or even tolerable for that many days. But we got to travel to, you know, six different cities there and pretty much see just about all of India. Got to go to Taj Mahal and just a lot of sightseeing stuff, too.
That's interesting. Sample some of the Far East cuisine?
Yeah, I tried to pretty much keep it basic. that was the biggest scare everybody was worried about, getting, I guess they call it Deli Belly or stuff like that. So,
oh, you know, like Montezuma's Revenge, same thing.
Yeah. We had bug spray all over it and taking malaria pills and had to get shots before we went. But I think we're a little over the top with it, but we just wanted to be safe.
Well, of course, of course. Well, you know, glad you made it there and home safely. You know, it's always scary when you travel abroad, especially for that length of time. Your family's probably happy you're home.
Yeah, definitely. That's the hardest part. But it's easier with, you know, Skype and stuff like that. But actually over there, the hardest part is getting internet because there's rolling blackouts and stuff. So it was, you know, you just make do without what you can do.
Really? Now, Tommy, let's talk about how you started. From the time you were little, did you always just hop on a motorcycle and start jumping things? Or did you progress into, you know, the step up, the freestyle?
Yeah, I mean, freestyle is a relatively new sport. I mean, I think the first time was a contest was in 99. So, I mean, I started racing BMX when I was 6 and then motocross when I was 8. And had a good amateur career. I think I won about 14 amateur titles and then turned pro at 18. And was just racing Supercross Outdoor Nationals for until 98, 99 when I started to just kind of mess around with freestyle. Then I saw the opportunity there and just kind of turned my head towards that and concentrated on that and kind of started a whole new career for me.
Really? Well, you know, I mean, I know when you were younger, some of our listeners don't know, but I grew up with Tommy and actually met him at the races at Brona Oaks, CMMC. And
yep.
I don't think we were any older than, what, 10, 11 years old?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
We're definitely very young. Traveled the, you know, the circle. We did some Golden State, went to Saddleback, Carlsbad, Diamond, what was that racetrack? Diamond something or other?
I don't know.
Diamond, I don't remember what it was called. But doing that, As a young kid, what was that like, you know, to be able to travel with some of the series? I know locally, you know, you every weekend you were at Brona Oaks, and that is in San Diego, actually, you know, Lakeside, California, San Diego, California.
I actually live right by Brona Oaks now.
Really?
Yeah, I live like 5 minutes. I live in Ramona. It's actually in Ramona, and I live right by it. I can hear the bikes from my house when I'm riding there.
How awesome is that?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I go there and ride quite a bit because it's so close, obviously, and it's a good track, you know, and it brings back good memories of, you know, the kid growing up there.
Right. So you started when you were 8, basically, and moved up. When you went into the freestyle and the step up, when you saw the, you know, the possibilities, what were you thinking? I mean, it's pretty extreme. I mean, that's why they call it the X Games. One would think just, you know, yes, you're going over some doubles. Yes, you're going over some triples. You're plateauing. But what made you decide to go all out?
I don't know if it's one thing. I mean, back then, I mean, all the guys that started in freestyle had a background of racing. So everybody was professional racers already at the time. And we would go out and ride 30-minute motos, practicing, training for racing. And then we would go hit cliff jumps and you know, start messing around on things. And that's where how the first Crusty Demons of Dirt video got filmed, is them, you know, filming us having fun, which we all wanted to do, but we had to go do our motos and stuff like that too. So once that kind of, I think that's kind of what kicked it off too, is, you know, the popularity of the Crusty's video, and then they started having a contest, and they were offering some good purses there, and, you know, I actually flew there. I was in Daytona at the Supercross, flew to Vegas for the first freestyle race, did that, flew back to Daytona for the Supercross, and I, you know, ended up making more money at the freestyle event. So that's kind of what triggered, you know, it was like, hey, if they're going to start this new series, it's a brand new thing. It was kind of, you know, just kind of getting some hype going. So I thought it would have a good future, and luckily I was right.
And just took off from there. Now, when you first started, what was your family's reaction? I mean, because it is something that you know, is very dangerous. And have you sustained major injuries?
You know, actually, I don't think it's. I mean, now is different than when I started. I mean, we were, you know, with the backflip involved now and all the tricks, you make a mistake and, you know, it can be deadly. Which, I mean, anytime you crash doing these, you know, now we're ramp to ramp a lot and stuff like that, it's, you know, there's definitely that factor involved. But you're the only person out there. You're not racing against 40 guys. So a lot of my injuries came from racing when, you know, another guy would run into each other, or, you know, a guy would hit me and, you know, stuff like that. Where here, at least you're the only guy out there. So, you know, if you make a mistake or you have a bike malfunction, it is pretty much when something would happen. So it kind of limits
bail off
one
basically
thing.
And do what you can to avoid the injury.
Yeah, I mean, if you can, you know, if you choose, when you take off the ramp, you know, you can choose not to do the trick. I mean, that's where I'm saying the backflip, you have to totally commit to that. So it's all or nothing on that. But the other tricks, if you don't feel right, you can, like, squeeze the bike and, you know, and we call it a dead sailor. Like, you didn't do a trick that time. And, I mean, when you're in a contest format, that's not something you want to do. There's no way you can win if you do that. So everyone tries to do tricks every single jump and different ones. But for the last 10 years, I've been doing, you know, freestyle shows. I have my own company with TNT Action Sports, and we travel around doing ramp-to-ramp shows all across the country. So it makes it more of a relaxed atmosphere. And if you miss a trick, you know, you're dealing with wind, and, you know, wind is our biggest issue out there. If it's really windy out there, that limits your tricks, and it's something we can't control. You know, when the bike goes out from under you, or it may push you far or short, depending on which way it's coming. So it just makes it more relaxed. So if you don't do a trick, turn around and try it again the next time, you know.
Right. Now, you know, you mentioned the wind, and I remember, gosh, I'm trying to think, 2009, I had been in the garage area with TJ
Bell. I remember
this. And here comes Tommy. I'm thinking, there's Tommy. And I am in the stands, and I don't have my pass with me, and I'm yelling, Tommy, it's me. And I'm trying to get your attention, you know, and you had to go and ride, but they had to cancel the show because of the wind.
Yeah,
you know, how often does that happen?
I totally remember that. I was just telling my wife about that, she, you know, about Sydney. I was, like, on the ramp, getting ready to do an interview, explain to everybody what the wind does to us and why it always sucks when you have to explain to people that it's too windy, you know, because some people don't get it and some do, but, you know, it's a bummer whenever we can't ride. But Cindy's over there screaming from the side, Tommy, and I'm like, I'm kind of busy right now, hold on.
No, just come here.
Yeah, I'm like, I got to do an interview, hold on.
Ride your bike across the track and come here.
Yeah, I know.
And at that time, I hadn't seen you in, what, 15 years?
Yeah, definitely. And, that was the first time that we saw each other, you know, since then. So I understand the excitement,
the bat,
but then
huh?
I was like, hold on a second, let me get this done. And all right.
You recognize me, huh?
Oh, yeah. You told me it, too.
It's me, Anja.
Yep.
Right. Now, Tommy, you know what? We have been talking on Garage Talk Live about women in motorsports. We had Erica Enders on the other day, and, you know, one of the questions that I had asked her was the adversity that she has being a woman driver in a professional male sport. What is your take on women in motocross, women in the X Games, women, you know, competing against a dominantly male field. And, you know, Tammy, like I told you earlier, Tammy has, you know, races motocross. So Tammy would probably be more interested in what it is that you have to say about women in these sports.
I mean, I think it's great. I mean, they've been in it ever since I was young, actually. I remember Mercedes Gonzalez was the first real woman that, you know, really, you know, was going fast. And, you know, and they would have their own, they had a class, but there wasn't as many women back then. So it kind of, she would race. Yeah, and this is all motocross. I don't know about what other sports are doing, but this is just what I've seen in there. And it was, you know, she was fast, and she would ride with the intermediate guys sometimes if there wasn't enough women. But now I think it's definitely, you know, now that they're riding the, getting a chance to ride the outdoor nationals at some of the races, it's definitely, it's you know, it's entertaining for everybody, and I think they're, you know, the top five girls are really going pretty good.
Are you intimidated at all by them, or, you know, or do they feel intimidated by the actions of the drivers that you may have noticed?
No, I don't think there's any, you know, you get on a bike, you put your helmet on, you're racing. If you line up on the line with me or with any of the guys, you're in the same race. So I don't think there's any intimidation. It's just, it's another person racing against each other, you know. But I don't think that the women are really riding against the guys. They have their own class, so they're riding against other women. You know, it's just, they're just not, they're not fast enough to be out there with the top pros right now, for sure, though.
You don't think so? You don't think that there's a woman driver that could be fast enough, but is held back for certain reasons?
What would they be held back by? I mean, if they're fast enough, they'd be fast enough.
AMA doesn't allow a lady racer to be on a bike bigger than a 250 four stroke. That's one of the restrictions on the lady racers.
Oh, really?
Did you hear that, Connie? It was a little muffled.
Yeah, that you said they can't ride anything bigger than a 250?
Yep.
Four-stroke?
Four-stroke is the max that the little woman.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I'm just looking from the outside, you know, what I watch, you know, from the races. And, I mean, I think they could sign up in the 250 class if they wanted to. But, you know, they have their own class right now, so I don't know.
But if one were to enter and prove that she could do it, you would have no problem side by side racing for position.
No, not at all.
Wonderful. Okay. Well, that's you know, equal opportunity is what we're looking for here.
Well, it's definitely. I mean, like I said, other girls have done that in the past. It's kind of like in golf, some of the top golf women, you know, are beating their field so much, then they would, you know, go play with the pros or the men pros, you know, at a tournament or something like that, and, you know, and just see where they kind of fare in that. And that would be interesting to see, actually, if, you know, Ashley Follick or Tara Geiger, you know, some of those top women, you know, actually went out and raced a national race with those guys, and then it would kind of see where they are at.
And I think, I go out sometimes with the guys' class intentionally, just to see how much I'd have to step up my game to be able to run with them. You know, I go out, I run 25 plus feet when I go out with them. And, you know, I kind of got a presence at one time. I end up winning, and all the guys are just standing there looking at me going, you just beat us. I'm like, sorry.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's how anything. I mean, I would practice with Mike Craig, you know, a longtime friend, and he was faster than me. You want to practice with people that are faster than you so you can gain speed. And if you're beating all the women at your class, in your area or wherever, then yeah, you go up ride with guys that are going to push you. I mean, I remember when I was a kid riding up just locally, and I'd be in the 9-11 class, and I'd beat them by so far. I would ride against guys in the 12-16 class. Just, you know, you just always want to be pushing yourself if they let you, if it's available.
Right, right. Yeah, and I clearly remember you know, moving up and with your little blocks.
Yeah. I actually just Twittered a throwback Thursday picture of me on a 60 at Verona, and everybody's making some short jokes.
I did see that. Yeah, you know, Tommy, you know, has achieved a lot, but height is not one of them. Or wasn't one of them, I should say. You know. Well, Tommy, is there a way that our listeners can follow you on Facebook, Twitter? I know that I have been doing a media blast, but if you want to, you know, give out your little handles, you know, that would be great.
Yeah, on Twitter, I am 178 Tomcat, which 178 was my first national number, so I went with that. And then Facebook is Tommy Tomcat Clowers.
And the Tomcat is in parentheses, correct?
Yeah, I think it would come up if you start typing it in.
So. But. You know, and I'll go ahead and get it and post it from the Garage Talk Live and also for my personal Facebook so that everybody can see it. But we really want to thank you for coming on our show, being our first guest, and, you know, ask you down the road if there's anything exciting that you'll be doing, if, you know, if you'll let us know and maybe come on and talk about it.
Yeah, sure. No problem. I appreciate it.
Wonderful. Well, again, thank you so much, Tommy, for coming on. And you don't know how much it means for you to be our first guest. We'll never forget you.
And, thank you.
Have a wonderful night with your family, and I hope we didn't keep you too long.
Oh, no problem. Thank you guys very much.
Great. Thank you, Tommy. Good night.
All right. Night. Bye.
Well, there you have it. Tommy Tomcat Clowers. Pretty interesting how we got started. Yes, y'all got a little bit of the background between Tommy and I also. I've known him for many, many years. He is actually a remarkable, remarkable writer, and, you know, with the X Games, with the freestyle, the step up is just really amazing on what they do and, you know, what the capabilities that someone has to do on a vehicle of that magnitude. Tammy, you can relate because you drive the motorcycles. You ride them, you drive them, you probably work on them, right?
I do, you know, and motorcycles is pretty much what my world revolved around for the longest time. I got my start off with NASCAR late models and NASCAR racing in general. Decided I wasn't going to, as a female, trying to break into that sport. It just wasn't happening, and I had the chance to learn how to ride the bikes, and I just took off with it and went. You know, and it turned out to be one of the coolest things I've ever done with my life. I have, oh my God, I can't even remember, 3 track championships at Raceway Park in the women's class. I have a regional title. I ranked 25th in the nation when I went and played with the big girls the 1 year just for giggles. You know, with my highest finish against, you know, the best in the nation in 7th place, which I'm not going to complain about, ride against those girls. I'm, you know, on an old beat-up bike and holding my own out there with them. Like I said, I won the men's class once. In the 25 plus B, I've, you know, done 125 B class with the guys. You know, I love when I had the chance to go out with the guys because it just shows me how much more I do have to step up my game, and it makes me want to work harder and run harder and makes me better in the women's class.
Right. No, I understand that. You know, I've never really competed. You know, I do have to say that I got on that motorcycle, put a helmet, suited up, and ran maybe a half a lap in the Powerpuff. And my dad said, that's enough. You know, kind of dumped it a little bit, got a little yellow flag, and you're done. You know what? You can stand on the sidelines and cheer for the boys, but you're done with this.
That's no fun.
So No. But, you know, I had a wonderful childhood. I was allowed to do many, many different things, almost anything, except for the danger sports that I wanted to do. Ice hockey, car racing, motocross. You know, it's exciting.
Well, I did find the article when the X Games, this is from 2005,
uh-huh.
I was running with the WMA and doing things like that. We actually did a boycott of the X Games, the Lady Riders, for a reason. And that was
because
they were calling any women doing any extreme sports a sideshow act.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that was in charge of the Media X International, one that organized the Moto X Games, even put out a release stating that many male organizers see the event as too dangerous for women. Women are sensible, and as a husband, I can say that freestyle moto is a quasi-daredevil sport. Moto events at X Games for the women are not very high-caliber athletes, and one mistake can lead to grave consequences. Even if they have talent for freestyle, it is tough for women to be accepted and get breaking in this male-dominated sport. was Heather Williams' reply, now runs the women's racing. And it took a lot of fighting and a lot of girls going back and forth to be allowed to compete in the women's X Games, in the women's division of the X Games, because that was the attitude of the men that were running the whole X Games competition. At that time, the women were only allowed to compete in only three classes they could enter. They would run in the morning, they were never televised, and they were normally done before even spectators got there. And it was, two categories. They were allowed to do wakeboard and skateboard, and that was it at the 11th Annual Summer Games. It was the first time they were allowed to do it.
Well, you know, and you're letting us know about, you know, the issues that the women are having. Was just, I'm kind of dumbfounded because, you know, as Tommy said, he wasn't aware of any issues. You know, you would think that a driver, a racer, you know, they would know the issues that are surrounding their sports. So the organization made it a point to keep it very quiet.
They did. And, you know, the only reason why it did get any attention is because of the ladies running the women's motocross, putting it out there and letting everybody know what was going on. And, like, one of the doctors that they interviewed about this, he was a sports exercise psychology program at RRC University Phoenix. And he said, U.S. society is not approving women in extreme sports. Feminine sport is figure skating and not skateboarding.
The doctor said this.
This was the attitude when everybody was starting to realize that the women were doing this. And to know that, you know, and this, I was racing back then. I mean, I started in 2002, I think it was. Oh, my gosh, I can't even remember. It's been that, yeah, I think this will be my 10th year. So 2002, I started. And they were right. You know, you were lucky if you maybe saw one or two other girls come out to run with you. And most of the time, they were just there killing time because their brothers were racing and had no clue what they were doing. They just wanted to get on. And you never saw the same girls every week. And now, you know, it's the point where you go to the tracks, you're seeing 15, 20, 30 girls out there going after the same
thing. Well, you know, and it's funny that you say that, you know, these girls are out there with their brothers, you know, their cousins or whatever. You know, and that's how I got started in motocross, you know, when I started being the gate girl, waving the yellow flag when there was, you know, a crash.
Right.
Finally moving up to the checker flag. That's what we were there for. You know, the girls were encouraged to drop the sign for the gate to come down.
Right.
You know, that's what we were encouraged to do. Exactly. Yeah, that's what we were there for. And, you know, and it never dawned on me, but, you know, that these women really weren't allowed, you know, weren't given the opportunity to compete with other levels.
Yeah.
We had the Power Puff. We had the Powder Puff. And that was it. The girls did not. They raced in that only. They weren't allowed to race in the beginners, the novice, the intermediates, you know, the experts. They were only allowed to race in the Powder Puff.
Right. And, you know, that was one of the things I started to see when I first started in the sport, too. You know, we would go riding at practice tracks like that, and I'd be the only girl out there on a bike, and I'd be looking like, okay. And I actually got stopped the one time. I was doing this jump, and I was learning how to clear it the right way. And these guys were standing on the top of the tabletop, and every time I came through, they kept getting closer to me and closer to me. And finally, they waved me down. I'm like, okay, well, maybe somebody's crashed on the other side, and I can't see them. And they stopped me, and they go, hey, did you know you're a girl? And I was just sitting on the bike going, what? You're like the only girl we've ever seen on a bike. Did you know you were a girl? I'm like, yeah, thank you. And I just took off. I was like, really? You stopped me to ask me if I knew I was a girl. And everybody was with me. They're all going, why'd they stop you? And I told them, they go, what? I'm like, yeah, they stopped to ask if I knew what I was.
Wow. Well, you know, I mean, obviously it's come a long ways. You know, women have fought for rights from the beginning of time. You know, we've conquered quite a few things. Women are more accepted in a man's sport, and I don't like to call it a man's sport. It's just a sport that's predominantly men.
Right.
But, you know, hopefully it will progress into there's not even the issue. We're not even questioning, or we don't even want to know how someone feels about it because it's going to be accepted.
And you know what's great is the class is growing. Heather Williams has done a ton of work. She's one of the ones that got the name going. And then I just threw a blank on the girl that's been doing a lot too for us. Heather Matthews, I'm going to butcher her last name, Jarek. She's really just taken over and run with everything to get the girls recognition, help get the poor girls out to the races, get them funding, get them sponsorship. She's doing everything she can. She's contacting all the dealers and everything, going, please help these girls out. Because what people don't realize is these guys have sponsorship. A pro female racer doesn't even get maybe an eighth or a tenth of what the guys are getting. They're paying their own bills to get to the track. They're paying for their own bikes. They're paying their own entry fees. They're just having names on their bike as a sponsor, but the majority of them aren't getting anything for that sponsorship.
Right, they're getting a pat on the back.
Yep, they're getting a, okay, come to my dealership, sign a couple autographs when you're in town. Thanks for carrying our logo. Good luck racing.
Right. Well, you know, we just can move forward from here, you know, and that sounds like what, you know, what's going on. We are moving forward, so.
We are, and it's come a long way. I mean, I've actually had the chance to do Loretta qualifiers. I've made it to regionals. And we've got 40, 50 girls there, and you got to run your rear end off to be able to get to Loretta Lynn. You know, and I've gone to regionals twice now, I think it was, and obviously neither time I made it through. And the second time, they really had to make it known to everybody. By the way, we have the two oldest women in this class, almost 20 years older than everybody else in our division. And they had to make sure everybody knew that her and I were the two oldest ones out there going up against teenagers. And her and I looked at each other and said, that's just more motivation to try and beat them.
Right. Give us more motivation.
Exactly.
Well, now listen. Yeah, let's go back to our news. Because I want to throw a name out there and I want to hear what you have to say.
Okay.
Brian Vickers.
He's been on the show.
Where has he been? Where has he been?
I thought his career was done when he had the blood clot. Normally something like that and having to go on the blood thinners and everything like that is, you know, career ending. You know, he got really lucky that he overcame everything. And it was kind of good to see him overcome all the odds because I know from my medical background that once you're normally on blood thinners, you're on blood thinners. And, you know, he's gotten everything cleared up. And he's gotten off of them. He couldn't race with blood thinners. That's one of NASCAR's rules. You can't do that, obviously. You know, for obvious reasons,
right.
If you get any slightest cut in that car, you can bleed out and die. And, you know,
right.
He did a lot of hard work to come back from it. And, you know, it's kind of
shocking
for him so young having those kind of problems.
Right. You do know he's back. He will be actually at New Hampshire this weekend. He'll be in the number 55 car. It will be his fourth 2012 NASCAR Sprint Cup start.
It's good to see him back.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a real down-to-earth guy, very personable. Like I said, he's been on the show before when he was with Red Bull and everything like that, another energy drink.
right.
You know, and it was really scary to hear he had to go through something like that, but he's just so determined and so dedicated to the sport, and it's just nice to see him back.
Well, you know, when he was with Hendricks, I don't want to say he produced, but he sure did produce, and he sure did make a pretty good name for himself
when he
was with Hendricks.
I can't
even remember his stats. You know, maybe I should have looked it up and got the facts on it. But he did make a name for himself. You know, he was there with Hendricks for 2 years. And why he left, I'm just not sure. You know, why his contract ended. And I don't know if that was when he had the issue with the blood clots. Because I know after he left Hendricks, there wasn't a whole lot more of Brian.
Right. And one of the things I think was too, because he switched over to Toyotas. And, you know, just like with anything new in a sport, it's going to take time for them to grow. The Toyotas still, they're getting there. They're still not as dominating as what you see Ford and Chevy, in my opinion.
Right.
But it's nice to see another manufacturer get out there and mix it up. I know a lot of people are going, oh, it's Toyota. Daytona, it's not technically an American-made car, which are the requirements of NASCAR, but really, is there any American-made car that's truly made in America and all the parts are made in America, or is it just assembled in America, which is pretty much what happens anymore with these cars?
Right. Right, yeah, you're right on that.
I hate to say it, but even a Harley. Everybody's going, I need American-only parts for my Harley. Well, that's great, but do you realize most of your parts on your Harley to begin with aren't from America?
You know, I don't know.
It just has to be a part that is produced here in the United States. Well, it just says produced, which as long as it's coming off the assembly line in the United States, it's an American-made car in the eyes of NASCAR.
TRD, Toyota Racing Development, though, they work very hard to make sure that, you know, people are aware that they are, you know, it is basically an American-made car in the NASCAR circuit.
Right.
You know, you won't find TRD at a track not making sure everyone knows,
realize, like a Chrysler, you know, that's Canadian-made, Canadian-assembled, some of them. You know, parts are made in Canada, and then the final pieces are all put together down here. It just, I don't know. Honestly, I wish NASCAR would kind of lift that rule. I'd love to see some other manufacturers get out there and mix it up. Maybe we could get, you know, more entries back again, because maybe some of these other manufacturers could make the stuff for a little bit cheaper. And
do we want more entries?
For more people that could get into the sport.
Do we want more entries? I disagree with you at that point.
Well,
until we're locked in the top 33, I don't want any more entries.
Well, you know what I mean, though. I mean, look at a Cup Series. Sometimes they don't barely even get that 43 that they need to get out there, you know? And I remember the days when there were 60 cars trying to compete to get in the Cup race. And now
they're
barely pulling enough to pull a field. Maybe if we add in some more diversity out there, maybe more of the drivers would have a chance. Maybe, you know, maybe somebody like Johanna Long could get in with a new manufacturer, and she could get a ride, and she could get up there in the Cup Series and try and compete. And maybe because the other manufacturers making the prices more affordable for the team, she could have, you know, the same equipment that, like, Joe Gibbs is getting, but just at a lower price.
Right. You know, and okay, you know, we'll go back to my dilemma with that. Well, hello, we hear you in the background. We hear you saying hi.
Dakota has to make sure everybody knows
we
she's
hear
here.
You, Dakota. Dakota's the dog. Dakota, welcome, Dakota. Dakota is Tammy's dog, and Dakota likes the attention.
Yeah, she's a canine search and rescue pup, so obviously that means she knows things around.
Right. You know, I just pulled up an article, and you know that it is a 10-year anniversary for NASCAR Technical Institute?
I'm good.
You good? Tam? Sounds like I lost her. Not really sure. But what I was saying is NASCAR Technical Institute celebrates their 10-year anniversary. It was 10 years ago this month that NASCAR Tech is a branch of Universal Technical Institute, became the exclusive educational partner for NASCAR. It's got a really large training facility in Mooresville, North Carolina. And in order to get in the school, you know, there's a waiting list, and it's just an awesome school to go to if you want a career as a pit crew, car chief, something that you really so we want to say congratulations to them on their 10 years.
Yep, it's actually a really good school. I know a couple people that have gone there, and they've enjoyed their experience. You know, it's just something, they actually, the whole family moved down there just for their two sons to be able to take the courses. So it was a neat thing to actually know someone firsthand that went through one of the first classes of the school a couple years ago.
Right. Well, let's talk about, if we're going to talk about schools then, the five-on, five-off pit crew training. Look at that facility. That is absolutely awesome. Have you seen that?
I haven't seen it yet, but I think it's great that there are places emerging where you can go learn how to do it. And even if you don't end up on one of the top teams, you're going to have the experience, even if you just go with your local team, that's really going to propel that team into the next level.
Right, right. Well, actually, I was interviewed by Possum and Vicky on Speed TV as one of the first women
to complete a week-long training. It's five-on-five-off pit crew training.
Awesome.
I was a front tire changer. Actually got the car done in 45 seconds. You know, nothing compared to, you know, the guys that are out there doing it every single day. But after a week, it was pretty exciting. It's another avenue to explore if you want in the field of NASCAR.
Oh, definitely.
You know, that's run by Jeff Hammond.
And one of the neat things, too, is if you want to get into the sport, there's a lot of local teams at your local tracks that need help. You know, and you might say it's okay, it's just a local team, but you don't realize that local team may become a big team, you know, and the first name that comes to mind is Dave Blaney. You know, we could have all just said, oh, he's just a local racer in our area that comes to town to compete, but now he's competing in the Cup Series and different, you know, events and stuff like that. And a lot of the guys have moved up the ranks that way, and normally they do take loyalty with them, and as long as the guys are good, they're going to take them with them to the top.
Right. Yeah, so, you know, I mean, these little things are they're good. If you want to get in on something, it's, you know, a place to look into. You know, they even have NASCAR marketing classes.
They do. And it's good to see, too. I mean, there's always going to be the need for that in the sport, whether it's from a sponsor level, a team level, a driver level.
Right.
You know, and people don't realize how many PR people actually it takes to keep a team going.
Yeah, exactly. You know, there's someone that talks to the sponsors. There's someone that, you know, locates the sponsors. There is someone that is in charge of the driver, getting the driver where they need to be, when they need to be. You know, their pushman, get them there. Don't let them stop and sign autographs. Sign autographs on the way.
Yep.
You know, and believe it or not, the PR person will also handle the travel for the teams. You know, so some of these courses that they offer. Now, mind you, these classes are not inexpensive. You're not going to be able to just say, I want to do it, unless you have a stockpile of money. I do know I looked into one class, and it was close to $7,000 for a 9-week course.
That's a lot of money. But, you know, it's worth it.
Right. If I were to, you know, move to the Charlotte area, I'm pretty sure that I would take that course. You know, it would really help with my degree and advance me within racing. So that's, you know, this is just interesting. Well, Tam, we have a few more topics that we found, you know, since Monday night. We do know that the military was looking to pull out the National Guard and U.S. Army as sponsorship in NASCAR series.
Right.
This has all been prompted because a U.S. representative by the name of Betty McCullen, she has been fighting for 2 years to stop wasting this quote, stop wasting taxpayer dollars on sponsoring a NASCAR racing team. Well, unfortunately, Army has pulled out of sponsoring Stuart Haas Racing. Ryan Newman will be without Army next year. It will continue on through the rest of 2012, but that's it. And we actually have a statement from the representative. She said that, I'm sorry, I've lost it here. Oh, she had been arguing that the sponsorship was to be used as a recruiting tool, but she's argued that it has been ineffective, that there is no way that can prove that this 39, no, that is incorrect. Excuse me, I'm reading off this little website here. 29 million dollars in recruiting, and there is no way to justify what percentage has come out of sponsoring a NASCAR race team.
And you see, I have a problem with that, because if she would go out to track and see how many people are being pulled into the fan zones alone that they put out there, you know,
well,
maybe you can't track the actual recruitment for it, but I see them being sworn in at Dover. you know, and those are people that were actually recruited at the track being sworn in at the next race because they've chosen that they want to join on because of what they've seen there, you know, and, you know, just anything like that, I don't know. I think it's an scapegoat that the government's using, saying we can't prove it's working, but I see people, you know, the younger kids and everything, they're looking up to these drivers that are sponsored by this, and they see the military personnel at the tracks holding the flags, doing various things. And I think for some of them, it's actually a really good inspiration and might be the reason why they choose that path for their life instead of something that maybe isn't going to be as good for them.
Right. Well, you know, Dale Jr. actually had a comment to say, and it was back, I believe, on May 21st of this year. I'm trying to locate it right now. But he stated that, you know, the representative has not been to the track, and he is inviting Ms. Betty McCollum and her husband to come to the track. They had never even been to a race. So, you know, Junior was a little put off by it. And, you know, she's still fighting to have the National Guard be removed from his car next year.
Right. And
she succeeded with the Army, but...
And what she also claims is about how, you know, that there's not enough men in that age range, but she also fails to remember that women can also enlist as well. So, okay, maybe there's not as many men in that age range she thinks that they should be pointing towards, but she leaves out the women's statistic on everything.
Right. And, you know, a lot of people also fail to realize the demographics of women in NASCAR.
Yeah. You know, and
those
things were, it's grown from us not being allowed in the pit area to we're actually allowed in the tracks and the pit areas and stuff like that, which when Missy first started, it wasn't allowed in a lot of areas.
We don't
know?
Even have to wear closed-toed shoes anymore.
Oh, I know. But I can remember
when... And we can wear tank tops.
True. I mean, I still don't.
I don't either. But,
you know, it's just kind of funny to think that when my mom, you know, was supporting my dad when he was racing, she couldn't go in the pit area. She wasn't allowed because they felt that the women would create the problems in the pit, to which my reply was, then why are the men still fighting? You know, but they swore that the women would be the instigators of the fights, and that's why originally women were banned from the pit area.
That's good to know. I didn't know that. You know, but they still could be the instigation of fights, them girls coming around.
Well, yeah, I mean, but when they used
but
to say that,
the regular girls in the pits
girls,
either.
Why are the guys fighting with each other then? What's their reason for fighting if the women aren't in here and they're not instigating?
Right.
You know, and it is, you know, when you think about just women in motorsports in general, it has come a long way. You know, we are competing in the motocross circuits. We are competing, you know, at the local tracks. They're competing in NASCAR. They're competing in NHRA. I mean, we have Katie McCardle at our local track. She's up there challenging guys for the win. And she's going to do it one of these weeks because she is a force to be reckoned with. She is not going to let those guys push her around. She is a super strong runner in that sportsman class. And a couple weeks ago, I thought she had it made and just ran out of laps. But you know what? If she had a couple more laps, I bet you she would have beat them all.
Possibly so. Now, I have found what looks like the article that I was looking for about Dale Jr. inviting Senator. Nope. Unfortunately, it's not pulling up. It was there yesterday. I actually posted it to, I sent the link to someone and I read the article. And today the page has been moved. And I believe it's probably been moved because of the headway that she has made. And, you know, it's just overrode. It's been overridden by her newest successes.
Yeah, going back to it is a shame. You know, and it just comes to the point when you have to say enough is enough. You know, we can pay all these millions of dollars to our senators and representatives and everything like that, but we can't put some funding out there to try and help recruit people that are going to protect and defend our nation.
Yeah, well, Pam, I got it. It was actually published May 18th, and it is by Jeff Owens. Let me see what this is on. Sporting News NASCAR. It says Dale Earnhardt Jr. has a message for U.S. Representative Jack Kingston, the Georgia Republic, who would like to take away Earnhardt's National Guard sponsorship. Republican from Georgia hasn't even been to a NASCAR race, Earnhardt said Friday. Would Earnhardt be willing to pay to host Kingston at a race? Yes, because he's a Republican and he's from Georgia. He ought to have been to a NASCAR race by now. Kingston and Representative Betty McCullen, a Democrat from Minnesota, are sponsoring an amendment of the 2013 Defense Appropriations Bill that would prohibit the military from funding sponsorship of professional sports or sporting events. This amendment was approved Thursday by the House Appropriations Committee. McCollum said the bill would not prevent military recruitment at sporting events, but added it does prohibit race car drivers from being paid $20 million. It will not prevent military recruitment at sporting events, but it prohibits race car drivers from being paid $20 million. There is the problem. That's the problem right there. She wants us to recruit, but she doesn't want to pay.
Right. And, you know,
And that money, do they not realize that $20 million that the driver is being paid doesn't come from sponsorship money? That comes
right.
from winning.
Right. And the money that, you know, that they put out there, I'd love to know how much is actually being spent on the cars and everything, because when you think about it, well, they're in NHRA. So are they going to lose the NHRA? I know they're in some local divisions. The Air Force does a lot and everything like that, too. So does that mean Petty's going to lose Air Force? Does that mean NHRA is going to lose, you know, the military sponsorship? I know Army's over there, too, you know, and National Guard and everything like that. What if you're taking it off the TV screen and taking it out of people's eyes, what do you think you're recruiting-wise if they're not seeing it? It's in their face lap after lap after lap.
Okay, give me a minute, because if I remember correctly, there is another article that states that they will continue sponsorship of other sporting events, but just not NASCAR.
You know, and then
so
one of the other things that comes to mind, too, is one of the biggest televised football events is the Army-Navy game. Well, that's a sporting event. You know, I understand it's their teams, but if they don't want to put the money into the teams in racing, why are they going to put the money into their own teams to be on a nationally televised event every year? You know, how much good does that do from that one televised event?
Right. I don't know. But, you know, I mean, now, you know, here's something to write congressmen about, to write a lot of people about. I mean, if they're going to continue to allow sponsorship at other events, but not NASCAR?
Yeah, it makes no sense.
It's discrimination.
Does that mean they're still going to put it in NHRA?
It costs a lot of money. It costs a lot of money to sponsor a NASCAR race team. It does. You know, but the advertising that they're getting out of it, you know, have they sat back, have they asked NASCAR for the demographics? Have they said, what is the age, you know, the 18 to 22, 18 to 25 males, you know, the females? What is the percentage of retired military that watches NASCAR?
Right, and not only that, you know, they're doing their starting point at 18. Why aren't they targeting, you know, the 13 to 17-year range to get them to start being motivated that range to want to enlist?
Right. This is something about the Indiana senator. And he's defending the military and NASCAR. Let's pull this one up and see. Here we go. This was also, you know, these are all from May, because that's when it all came to light. So, you know, I'm going back searching some of the old ones here. pulling up now. This is from the Hill. National Guard Senator defend funding for military NASCAR sponsorship. The National Guard defended its sponsorship of NASCAR Wednesday as a senator from one of the biggest auto racing states indicated he will fight a ban on sponsorship that passed the House of Appropriations Committee. Senator Dan Coats, he's a Republican of Indiana, said a Senate Appropriations Committee hearing Wednesday that Congress should not be micromanaging the funds of the Guard spent on recruiting. And that's what they're doing. They're deciding where they can spend their appropriated funds.
Yes, yeah, I don't know. If you can put the money out to do all these other events, you should be able to, you know, put the money out as you feel you need to. I understand it's part of the government's way to cut back spending, but, you know, if they're going to cut it from there, then they need to really cut some of their other budgets out too.
Right. Well, McCollum states that that NASCAR sponsorships are wasteful Pentagon spending.
Yes, mm-hmm. I don't agree with that, but that's their choice, you know.
Yeah, I'm really not sure, but, you know, I mean, there's nothing we can do. Army's already pulled out because they're probably tired of fighting it. You know, I mean, that's just what it comes down to, is we can only fight so much. We can only do so much. So, let's see if we have any other topics to discuss tonight. Oh, Danica Patrick. Let's go ahead and discuss her new 2012 Cup schedule. She will be competing in the Hollywood Casino 400 at Kansas Speedway on October 21st.
I have issues with that. I understand Tony brought her on. She's a name. She gets sponsors' attention. She gets the money. But she's not ready. She's not ready to be up in that division with those guys. I mean, as much as I'd love to see a woman
ready to be the division of Nationwide.
I don't think so either. I don't know.
You've got two microphones going. Tammy, you're underwater again today.
Oh, I have to break down and get a new setup.
Yeah, I think your Skype is overriding your microphone.
Oh, great. I mean,
you're okay now.
It's great to see a woman in the sport and have that much funding and backing and everything behind her. But I don't know. I know some of the problems is you can't go and practice and test like you used to be able to do, which I think is one of the things she needs. But I also don't think she's totally overcome that mentality that she's had from open wheel racing. You know, you can't do the same things with the cars that you can do in Indy that you can do with a NASCAR. The cars are heavier.
Well, you know,
the cars are wider.
Right, we're talking 3,400 pounds compared to 12 to 1,700 pounds.
Right.
1,000 pounds. Yeah.
You know, your speeds are slower. Yes, I'll give it that. So your speeds are a little bit slower. But it just seems like I don't know how to phrase it. You know, it's like the one step forward, two step back type of thing. She's going to start doing better, and she's starting to look better in the car, and the next thing you know, she's wrecking the field. You know, and like I said, I am all for...
And cussing at the people that she wrecked.
Yeah. You know, and I'm all for having competitive women in the sport. It's something I want to see. You know, I love when Johanna Long has a great weekend, because it's great to see. You know, Jennifer Jo Cobb, if she has a great weekend. I want to see these girls succeeding. I want to see them inspiring more women to get out there and race, but I also think that you shouldn't push things either. If I look at the stats, okay, Danica's up in the points, yes, I understand that, but you also have to take in consideration Johanna hasn't run as many races as her. I would love to see what it would be like realistically if they've both run the same races, because I really think Johanna would be ahead of her in points. A different mentality between those two. Danica's to the front, to the front, to the front, get out of my way, I'm going to the front. And the media's all Danica, 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 everywhere you turn around.
More interesting.
something more interesting.
Exactly. You know, and it's like the Nationwide series isn't Nationwide anymore. Maybe we should rename it because that's what the whole entire focus is.
Is the Danica series?
And while I'm enjoying the fact that there is a woman out there and, you know, she's got the funding, you know, which is great to see a woman actually getting that much funding.
It's great to see any driver getting that much funding.
Right. But I'm also looking at the fact that she's doing these commercials that, you know, my kids are like, Mom, let's go to that site and see what's going on. I'm like, no, you don't need to see the unrated version of this commercial. You know, and to me, I don't know. I had a friend that did risque poses and stuff like that so they could get the better sponsorship money because that's how, you know, some of the sponsors are in any sport. You know, and she wasn't naked or anything like that, but to me, I would never have done anything like that. But it seems like that's what sells a woman in the sport, is you have to do that kind of stuff in order to get that kind of funding, and I don't agree with that. I would rather see a woman portrayed in a more wholesome way, in a more family-like way, you know, and GoDaddy could do that, but they want those guys drooling over her and, you know, and that's what drives their website rating stuff, and that's what gets them their sales, and that's what keeps her sponsorships going. But, you know, why can't you show her doing something more realistic?
Productive. Realistic. Right. You're right on that. You are absolutely right. And, you know, what happened to this is a family sport, you will conduct yourself in a manner that is pleasing not only to your sponsors, but to the spectators, to the television viewers, and to the sport in general.
Well, even, okay, look at Casey when he was doing those commercials.
With the girls, the three
girls. He never, ever did anything extreme as Danica or as suggested. Mm-hmm. I mean, we knew what they were referring to, but he kept his word.
Dang it.
You know, well, maybe
it can
maybe
go both
guys,
ways.
Maybe the guy should be feeling guilty right now because she's getting what she's getting because she's, you know, being revealing. You know, maybe Casey Kane should be sitting back going, well, maybe I need to take my shirt off more often, you know? Or, you know, any of these guys, you know, maybe. And to me, I just feel like that's portraying the wrong image. In order to get ahead in this sport, this is what you have to do as a woman. And that's why I am for Johanna. She has the wholesome values. She's down to earth. And she's somebody that I don't mind my kids looking up to because she is, you know, she knows the limits, she knows the boundaries, and she's respectful, and she's family-oriented.
Right. Well, you know, but okay. You know, we all know how we feel about that, huh?
I mean, I hate to be so forceful and so opinionated on it, but I'm sorry. And I know I have no room to speak because I don't have that type of body. I never have. I never will. I'm realistic in that aspect. But even if I did, I would not be doing that to get ahead in the sport.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, and it's saying here that that shows that with testing rules the way they are, that she's not going to be able to test at track for NASCAR's top three series compete. So looks like she'll be able to compete, you know, test at Kansas because the extra day of testing will be huge for her.
And, you know, and that's what I think she needs more than anything. It's just seat time, you know. And I'd be kind of interested to know, like, I know a lot of the guys, they do the simulation games and stuff like that. I'd be kind of interested to know if she participates in anything like that to help get to know the tracks a little bit better. You know, especially
do you think
she's never been to. I can say from a motocross standpoint, yeah, because you get to, like, from the motocross standpoint on some of the games, we go to some of those tracks, so I could sit there and at least start to memorize my corners and my turns and what was going to come up and what type of jump it was, whether it was a tabletop, whether it was a double, you know, and that's the kind of things that would help me. It was kind of more to help me get my rhythm. That's the biggest thing with motocross is to find your rhythm and, you know, to go with it. Figure out the best lines where you could carry, you know, the most speed, which, you know, if you don't do it right in the game, you are going off the track or you're wrecking and stuff like that. So, yeah, I think it does help. I'm not sure how much it helps you know, for NASCAR, but it helps you with your braking points and stuff like that to understand, you know, like some of them use the visual points and things like that for knowing what, like when they're going in the corner, how long they can push it before they have to brake and when they can get back on. And, you know, like your focal points is what they're looking for. And when you see that on the game and you can relate it in your game as to, oh, well, I could push it to this point and still be okay, they kind of try and push a little bit farther when they're out there then, or they'll go, no, oh, no, I can't go past this point. It's not going to work. I've tried it a couple times before. I'm not going to wreck my car just because I tried to do this.
Right. All right. Well, you know, that's a question that we need to ask one of the drivers on there, you know, if it helps, if you know, simulation is something that they consider or something that they do on a regular basis. It's something I'd like to know.
Yeah, I know that's Junior does a lot with it. You know, he even advertises, you know, I'm racing right now and stuff like that. Come join me. So, you know, I do think it does have an added benefit. And even if it's just for the sake of, like I said, learning your rhythm.
Yeah. Well, listen, let's talk about New Hampshire. I got some pretty interesting stuff on New Hampshire.
What you got on New Hampshire?
Okay. Groundbreaking for New Hampshire was August 13th in 1989. And it was originally named the New Hampshire International Speedway. The first NASCAR Sprint Cup there was in 1993 in July 11th. Let's see. They renamed the track in 2008 to New Hampshire Motor Speedway. There have been 34 Sprint Cup races in New Hampshire, one per year from 93 to 96, and two per year since. There's only four drivers that have competed in all 34 races.
Only
you ready?
Four. I think
go
I know.
Go ahead. Take a couple.
I'm going to say Jeff Gordon.
Jeff Gordon?
There's
one. And there's another Jeff.
Jeff Burton?
Jeff Burton. And a brother? Bobby Labonte.
Okay.
And our favorite follower? Joe Nemechek.
Joe Nemechek.
You like our favorite follower. Joe Nemechek is wonderful, and he follows us, and it's on Twitter, and it's just great. Thank you, Joe.
Wow. So only four out of all the ones we have running now have been at every race.
Correct. And these are new stats that have been updated. So we're not talking a few years ago, but only 30 out of 34 races, only four of them. And
wow.
Mark Martin won the first one there. The first cut, the pole. The first New Hampshire pole. Mark Martin won. Rusty Wallace won the first race. And since then, there's only been 34 races. There's been only 17 pole winners.
Wow. 17 different.
Ryan Newman with six of them.
And he had a little bit of controversy last year, too, because he was running the modified race up there and got disqualified.
Really?
Yeah, he had some penalties last year, and he was banned from modified series after that event up there last year.
Isn't he from Indiana?
I'm not sure where Newman's from. I know Tony is.
Yeah, I know Tony is. I'm not sure where he's from either. I don't know why that just popped into my head. Now, we have 20 different drivers that have won, and Jeff Burton has won four of them. So 34 races, only 20 different drivers that's won. And Burton's won four. Let's see here. Jimmy Johnson in 2003 and Kurt Busch in 2004 are the only drivers that have posted season sweeps there. They're also the only back-to-back winners there.
Wow.
Hendricks has won eight races, more than any other organization. The deepest infield that a New Hampshire race winner started was 38th, and that was Burton in 99. There have been five winners who started from the pole. The last race winner to win from the pole was Ryan Newman. That was last year.
Well, with those kind of odds, I don't want to be starting on the pole this weekend.
Yeah, right?
Wow. Are you ready for this one?
Sure.
Jeff Burton led all 300 laps raced in the 2000 fall race.
Wow. Who has the all-time lap led there?
Say that again, I'm sorry.
Who has the all-time number of laps led at the track? Is that Burton's sweep too? Or?
There has been Burton with 300.
Right, but I mean for total laps led at the track over the years.
Oh, at different tracks?
No, at Loudon itself, who's led the most laps overall, like of all the drivers?
Jeff Gordon. Jeff Gordon has led the most. Well, and, you know, I was looking for the answer, but then, you know, maybe the Jeff Gordon. That's my answer for everything. Jeff Gordon.
So he's got all the domination there, but he just doesn't finish it out as much as Burton.
Yeah, well, no, Jeff Gordon actually has led the most laps all time with 1,304.
Wow.
Let's see. The five drivers got their first NASCAR wins at New Hampshire. You ready?
I'm ready.
Tell me the five. You could name them. Our follower? Hey,
Joni Imichek.
Believe it or not. Okay, go ahead.
Joey?
Robbie Gordon in 2001.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Remember, the 17 different pole winners, and six of them were led by Ryan Newman in 2002. So that was his first win there, 2002. And Clint Boyer, 2007.
Okay.
Yep. And let's see. Only active driver with the average finish. I don't understand this at all. But Denny Hamlin, 9.0, is the only active driver with an average finish at New Hampshire in the top 10.
Oh, wow.
I don't understand. What is a 9.0?
It means he's a ninth place average finish.
Oh, no. Okay. Well, I was thinking they were rating him. I think I didn't think he was that cute. Listen to me. Let's see. The most leaders at one time was 15, and that was last year in September. Had 15 different leaders. And the fewest laps led by winners was 2. Who was the youngest Cup driver to win, and how old was he?
Let's see. I guess we're going to have to go with first-time winner Joey.
Joey?
He was 19 years old. I believe it was right now.
19, 1 month, and 4 days old.
And I think it was a rain out, too. I don't even think it was a full race.
That, you know what? It might have been, and I remember that. And remember his interview. You know what? I'm going to take a win any way I can.
Yep.
I recall that. I totally recall that. You know? And, you know, the 12-year-old over here says, that's my man. the oldest driver is...
Ooh.
Or the oldest, excuse me, the oldest driver to win. And I'll tell you, it was in 2009. Who's one of our oldest drivers out there still competing?
Oldest driver still competing. Mark?
Mark. He was 50 years, 8 months, and 11 days. So this was very. This was 8 months after he received his rocking chair.
I can't think of him being a oldest driver, though. I just can't. But
I know.
It's so funny that the oldest driver out there just sounds so weird, you know. And then I think of Morgan Shepherd out there still mixing it up with everybody, too. So, you know, I don't think age means anything in this sport.
Yeah, it really doesn't. It really doesn't. I think it's just the ability to climb in and out of the car.
Exactly. Even
sorry,
that,
my back is hurting tonight. I can't race.
You know what? I wouldn't care if I was in pain or not. I'd still be getting in that car to go. That's what the sport's all about.
Yeah. Well, now let's move on to something else. And I don't know if this is sad news or, you know, if this is a positive thing or a negative thing. But once again, we're going to mention our follower. Joe Nemechek, number 87. Unfortunately, his house is going up for auction in Mooresville, North Carolina. He purchased a multimillion-dollar estate, and he tried to sell it before the market crashed, but was unable to. So it's a 139-acre. What are those horses? Equestrian.
Yeah.
It's a 139-acre equestrian estate. After years of depressed real estate conditions made a traditional sale difficult. The 5-week auction period began last week. The project manager is Sierra Irwin, and she's with Concierge Actions. The entire property has been on the market since 2009. It was originally listed at $10.9 million. They reduced it to $8.4 million and still didn't sell. Nemechek decided to hold an auction because of the certainty of the property selling. It's definitely time to move on to the next chapter of my life, the next project, he said, adding that this was his largest and last real estate project. Nemechek and his wife, Andrea, bought part of the estate, including the 8,900 square foot home from retired NASCAR driver Ernie Irvin of 6 years ago. The live auction will be August 2nd in Mooresville Estate, located off North Carolina. We've got the address. Let's go hang out with them. the property will go to the highest bidder, and there is a $100,000 fee to participate in this auction. It is refundable, though, if you do not bid on the house.
Wow. It probably, for him and his wife and everything, they're probably just downsizing. And
yeah, well,
it is
a
shame
large,
to see that. Yeah, that's a lot of land and everything and such a huge estate. And it's a shame to see it go, and I'm sure it'll be bittersweet to have to let it go. But at the same time, it's nice that him and his wife are looking on to other things.
Right, right. Well, would they say they bought it? And let's see. They sold it in 2009. Or they've been on the market since 2009, and they bought it 6 years ago, so they really didn't have it a whole long time.
Right, and if you think about it, though, when these guys are on the road and everything racing, they don't spend that much time at home. So
they don't.
That is a lot of land and acreage and everything to have if you're not going to be home that much. And it is such a shame, though, because that'd be just such a nice place to go relax and peacefulness.
Well, and you just think of the heritage behind it. Ernie Irvin had it. Come on. And then Joe Nemechek, I'd like to call a few of my friend drivers and say, look, go get this.
Yeah, really.
It's going to be a steal. It's going to be a steal. How much do you think, Tammy? Let's do it.
Oh, I wish.
Let's do it. Our vacay home, Is it all like Norman? I can't tell. That would be nice. Well, I think we should wrap it up with the birthdays for the month. We have facts on whose birthday it is this month. Before we mention today's birthdays, I want to do a special birthday to my dear friend Brad Parrott, crew chief extraordinaire. Tomorrow will be his birthday. We will not say his age, but wanted to give a big birthday shout-out to him. And also to Cheech Marin. It's his birthday tomorrow, too. Up in smoke, fella. Love you. But today we want to honor Denny Parsons. It is his birthday today, and I know his family is probably celebrating in their own way. We miss him dearly, definitely. And Rick Hendricks, happy birthday, Ricky. So he's also celebrating. Maybe he can get a nice win with my pick of Jeff Gordon this weekend in New Hampshire. I'd really like that and, be able to present him with that birthday present. I'll call him up and say, did you like the present I got you? Sandra Johnson's birthday is on the 16th of this month. Let's see, Ray Everham, his birthday on the 19th. Wayne Grubbs also on the 19th. Maybe they can get together and have a little cake. Larry Wallace is on the 23rd. Let's see where we're coming at. And that looks like
about it at the moment, you know. Oh, Neil Bonnet. We don't want to forget Neil Bonnet. His birthday is on the 30th of the month with Henry Ford.
Yep, and Adams was this past Tuesday.
It sure was. Adams was on Wednesday?
Tuesday, July 10th.
On Tuesday? Yeah, well, they didn't list that. That's a shame. We should, you know, our happy birthday wishes to the Petty family.
Yeah, it would have been 32? 32.
How old? 32?
Yeah, he was just he was 2 years younger than me.
Oh, well. You know, but you know, he's living the life he wants to live now, that's for sure.
He is, and you know, so many kids are benefiting from his dream.
They are, you know. Let's do that. Next week, I am going to do my hardest to get someone from Victory Junction on.
I think we can do that.
I think we can. You know, let's do that. Let's, you know, just let you all know we're going to try to get, I don't know, it would be nice if we could talk to a Petty, you know, about Victory Junction. But you know what, we're willing to hear what Victory Junction does. If y'all don't know, look it up. I believe it's www.victoryjunction.com. It is a wonderful organization that was inspired by Adam and the Petties, and they just help kids achieve so much in their time of need, you know, their disabilities.
The kids, it's the families, it's siblings,
the
and, you know, now, and now with Kansas getting to be built and everything like that, it's an amazing thing to see come true.
Yeah, it definitely is. So let's work on that, and hopefully we can get a Victory Junction on next week. That would be something that we can, you know, we can do. So, and again, you know, good luck to San Diego All-Stars, the 12-year-old Emerald Ponies. Woo-hoo, go! On Saturday, beat Ramona. Excited to hear about how that's going to go. Any wrap-ups that you have, Tammy?
About all that I have right now, I know we have to mention TJ. He's got this thing going on his fan page to help rid the gremlins this weekend.
The gremlins.
So go over to his fan page and let's get rid of these gremlins this weekend.
Except for
Gizmo. That's my only stipulation is we can't get rid of Gizmo.
Yes, Gizmo. If y'all don't know, the TJ Bell fan page or at TJBell_racing.com, not _racing.com, that is his website, but you can go to at TJBell_racing on Twitter and follow him. But he has posted a picture of
Spike.
A gremlin, the mean one, Spike.
That's Spike,
that is his name. And he has requested that the gremlins leave him alone. Let me go to Facebook and pull that up right now.
And maybe have some gremlin shirts coming, too. So we're going to have some gremlin butt kicking this weekend.
He's got gremlin shirts coming, you said?
He was asking his fans what they would think and if they would buy some gremlin shirts. So we're going to have some gremlin butt kicking this weekend.
Okay. Well, let me pull up and read to y'all what he wrote, and then we'll wrap it up because we definitely, you know, not only do we want to get rid of the gremlins, but we want to pray for his safety and the whole crew, especially both Tracy and Natalie.
Yeah,
who are going to be at a totally different location. They're in, why am I lost? Why did I draw a blank?
They're out there with the trucks this weekend. Tracy and Natalie headed out to Iowa?
Iowa. That's what I thought. I was going to say Iowa, but
yeah.
And the Mark and Mark Beavers, the co-owner of Make Motorsports, and TJ's regular crew is going through New Hampshire. Kevin Eagle posted that he was going through the Bronx last night. We just told him to watch the hubcap and the car, you know, get it there safely. But TJ has posted on his fan page, okay, gremlins, stay away from my Make Motorsports number 50 NASCAR Nationwide Series car this weekend at New Hampshire Motor Speedway. I am going to get the finish we deserve, so go find another car to play with. And it is a great picture of Spike.
A really good picture. I love it.
Yeah. He has actually 4 shares on it and 45 likes, including you, Tammy. I almost didn't count you. and then at one point, he wanted to know, should he put a gremlin in his car or a sticker of the gremlin on it? and a lot of different responses. And I know I replied with, no, don't put that on your car. Get the nice one, Gizmo. Put a sticker of him on your car.
And if y'all don't want to, about what do you guys think about me printing up some Team Gremlin shirts, you know, if anybody would be interested in supporting Team Gremlin. And
yeah,
I'm also going to make sure that the Gremlin Bell gets out in the mail, so it'll be sitting down their shop for them Monday morning.
That would be great.
So the Gremlin Bell will be on its way to help rid these gremlins, too. We're going to keep that. If anybody doesn't know, it's called the Legend of the Bell. And supposedly the bell, the noise is so annoying that when they crawl up into it, they can't hold on because it just, you know, hurts their head so much that they fall off. So we're going to make sure the Gremlin Bell goes down, too.
Yeah, well, we just want to wish Make Motorsports TJ Bell, Natalie Sather, just luck, you know, this weekend. It's, you know, it's becoming a trying time for everybody, for all race teams. But Make Motorsports, they have hearts of gold. They work every weekend to do what they can to get out on that track. And we just want y'all to, you know, continue to pray for them, sponsor them. Any sponsors are out there listening, y'all need to, y'all interested in sponsoring, 936-239-0853. More than happy to talk to you about sponsorship. But we need the support of the fans also.
That's right.
Definitely.
And don't forget,
definitely,
if you go and join his Twitter page when they hit, what is it, 1,000 likes? What are our numbers at over there? I forget what it is. They're going to be giving away some prize packs too.
Was it 10,000?
I can't remember the number. It might be 10,000. I don't remember. I'm bad at that. I think it is.
I'll have to go back and look. I'm a little concerned if it was 10,000 for some reason. I thought it was 10,000.
7,000?
And we had,
I forget.
We had close to, I don't remember. You know, I'm really not sure. We'll pull that up. I'll have that information for next weekend. About his prize giveaway from sponsors and himself. And Garage Talk also has agreed to, you know, throw some stuff in there for a lucky fan. When he reaches a certain amount of followers, he will be drawing a name. Not a specific, but not the 10,000 follower or the 2,000 follower, but he will do a draw from all of his fans, not just the newest one.
Yep.
Which is a good thing. Sorry if I sound a little distant. I'm still trying to read his page to get, you know, and there's so many people that post on his page with support. It's just absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing.
It's one thing, you know, TJ gives back to his fans, and it's great to see. And, you know, it's just great to see a driver that is so willing to be so involved and interactive with their fans. And I think that's what helped drive and, you know, makes it grow.
Right. You know, like you just mentioned that, on June 27th, there was a message on stage, you know, TJ, thanks for answering questions from your fans, looking for your next interview, you know. I mean, he's willing to talk to the fans, to do so much to, you know, to help them. And you know, and he wants feedback. He wants feedback on the sport. He wants feedback, you know, regarding his car. He's just an all-around pretty good guy. Tammy, did I lose you?
Nope, I'm still here.
Oh, you're still there. I was reading, sorry. Well, looks like we're about wrapping it up tonight, huh?
It is.
I'm done with my thing. Yeah. Well, I had a wonderful time. I want to thank Tommy Tomcat Clowers once again for coming on and talking to us and going over, you know, what he felt on women in racing, how he got his start, you know, the achievements that he's made. Really appreciate it. And it was wonderful talking to him after I don't know how many years. And we're going to look into getting Victory Junction on next week, and want to remind y'all to tune in at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And Monday night, Garage Talk Live, Vince, host, Tammy, and
yep.
Sounds
you.
Like Cindy's been there throwing my two cents in. If y'all want to hear a good debate, make sure you turn in on Monday nights. I believe we are having, give me a minute and I'll tell you who's on Monday night.
We're going to have John Force. And
you know, and that's what Miss Sprint Cup,
yep,
original for the 5-year
anniversary of Miss Sprint Cup. You know, I wasn't sure about John Force. I know I had gotten a message about him. I just wasn't sure if they were combined. But John Force will be on at 8:30, and Miss Sprint Cup, the original.
Anne-Marie Rhodes will be on at 8.
Anne-Marie Rhodes, wonderful.
And then we'll have 15-time NHRA Funny Car Champion John Force. He's another so regular, and you got to be tuned in for that interview. We may not have even with an hour and a half left in the show with him coming on at that time, we may run out of time because he is just an awesome, awesome interview.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, Tammy, I think we should call it a night. I had a great time. What did you have?
I loved it. I can't wait to do it again next week.
Well, hope you all tune in, and, you know, if you can't listen live, be sure to follow our link that we're going to post and listen to the playback.
Yep. It'll be up there. Check us out on Facebook. It's just www.facebook.com/GarageTalkLive, all one word, or on the web, www.GarageTalkLive.com. That's where you can go to find out more information about us, where we're going to be. You know, we go out on the road, we go to different tracks and everything like that, so make sure you find out where we're going to be and come see us.
Wonderful. Have a nice night, Tammy. Have a nice night, everybody.
See ya.
See ya.